This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. The CBS News show 60 Minutes has been on the air for more than 40 years, and in those four-plus decades, it built quite a reputation for quality. Very rarely did their stories get called fake or get called by some of their opponents on the carpet for getting things wrong. But that has happened quite a bit recently. They had to retract an account of the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. They did a piece on the National Security Agency with John Miller, who was a former guy at the top of our own defense establishment who has now left CBS News to go back into law enforcement in the New York City Police Department. And they did that puff piece on Amazon with Jeff Bezos showing off the idea he has for drones to deliver their products to you, which is years away from happening. So the 60 Minute brand has been taking some hits lately. And last weekend, I thought that they did a piece that deserved some more hits. It was a piece by Leslie Stahl, who in my estimation is the worst of the 60 Minutes reporters. She did a story on clean tech, solar power, wind power, etc. That was really a hit job on the entire industry. Here's a little clip of Leslie Stahl talking with Stephen Koonin, who was the head scientist at the Energy Department several years ago, about some of the projects that the government has invested in.
The government spent about $150 billion into these innovations.
Mm-hmm.
Taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Money well spent?
I think there are significant developments that have come out of that spending that impact our energy system now, new technologies demonstrated. I think it was good value for the money.
Well, Solyndra went through over $500 million before it failed. Then I'm going to give you a list of other failures.
Mm-hmm.
Abound Energy,
mm-hmm.
Beacon Power,
mm-hmm.
Fisker,
mm-hmm.
VPG,
mm-hmm.
Range Fuels,
mm-hmm.
Enter One,
right.
A123,
mm-hmm.
Ecotality.
Yep.
I'm exhausted.
As I told you at the beginning, the energy business is tough.
She's exhausted from reading a list of names. I wish at that point that Stephen Koonin had taken out a list of the shows that CBS has put to pilot or tried to get on the air in the last several years that failed once they put them on the air, because the TV industry is notorious for a more than 90% failure rate. But nobody would ever bring that up on 60 Minutes. Maybe my next guest agrees with me. Her name is Zoe Carpenter. She's a reporter in the Washington, D.C. Bureau of The Nation. And she watched this last week. And Zoe, did you feel the way I did about this Leslie Stahl hit piece?
I did. There was significant context that was missing from the piece. It was very anecdotal, and there's a lot of evidence out there that could have easily been found just with a simple Google search that wasn't mentioned on air. And we've also heard from some of the people who were interviewed for the program, either ones that appeared on the show or who were interviewed just on background, who said that much of what they said about the clean tech sector was actually left out in favor of the negative comments.
How is clean tech doing in reality?
Well, it's a tough market. I think it's certainly true that in terms of venture capital, a lot of investors lost money. There was sort of a boom and bust there. But, you know, one of the problems with the show, with the 60 Minutes program, is that it was conflating venture capital with the government's investment and this loan guarantee program. And the two are related, but they're very different. And the successes and failures are different for both. So, in fact, the government's loan program has a nearly 98% success rate. So all those companies that Leslie Stahl was ticking off, the failed companies, they represent 2% of the portfolio. And to not give that context, to call this loan program a waste of taxpayer dollars and a failure, and not give that context is just egregious reporting.
When the government does something like this, a loan guarantee program, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars here. And those sound like mm-hmm. huge numbers to us, although in the context of the federal budget, it's not really all that much. Is the idea for the government to put those dollars in the hopes of getting a huge dollar return?
Well, the government does expect to get a return for that investment, yes. However, that's not the only goal, and it's important to note that these are very long-term loans, and Tesla is exceptional because it's completely paid back its loan at this point. Most of the other companies haven't fully paid back, and that's to be expected. But the greater goal of the program is to spur investment, private investment in clean tech, to diversify the country's energy sector, and to lower our greenhouse gas emissions. And none of that was mentioned in the program. The program didn't mention climate change, and it didn't mention the fact that it seems that the government has been successful in helping to spur investment because, you know, the solar projects, wind projects especially, are booming now, and we're having increased electricity generation by the renewable sector more so than any other fossil fuel electricity generators.
One of the people who Stahl interviewed on that piece is Robert Rapier, who is the chief technology officer at America International, which is a holding company that invests in a lot of renewable energy, mostly in Europe, but also here in the United States. And he has said that, as you did, that essentially Stahl came in there with an agenda and cut out anything that didn't fit the agenda. At one point, she said to him, okay, clean tech is dead. What killed it? And he said, well, clean tech is not dead. There are a lot of parts of it that are doing very well. Solar power is growing by leaps and bounds, and prices are plummeting, and wind power is growing exponentially. And she said, okay, so clean tech, the story's more complex. Let's talk about the parts that aren't doing so well. And that's the part that ended up on the air.
Right, and things like biofuels have not lived up to their promise. And I think that you can make fair criticism of certain clean tech companies and certain hopes and promises, but that's the deal in a emerging market. You're going to have successes and failures, and I think, you know, a 98% success rate for the government's program, that is wildly beating any expectations that investors in Silicon Valley would have.
New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo just last week announced another $1 billion that state is going to invest in solar energy. But I have to ask, Zoe, why do we need the government to invest in clean tech in the first place?
Well, we have an unbalanced playing field. You know, we have billions of dollars going to oil and gas companies, and in exchange, they're poisoning the planet. So, and we have an infrastructure that's completely designed for fossil fuels, an electricity grid that is switching from coal to natural gas, but there are still problems with natural gas. So there are significant barriers to scaling up renewable energy. And in order to get momentum going, there needs to be investment on a much larger scale. And so the point of the government program is to help spur that investment.
Is it kind of the same way that the space program, when it started getting going in the 60s, helped spur all the rest of these other industries that grew up around it and created so much invention?
Right. We know that R&D, research and development, is a huge economic driver. It creates jobs. It creates innovation. It's progress. It's looking forward and finding the next horizon. And I think if we look at government expenditures in the past on R&D, we have so many success stories and so many reasons to believe that that's a useful thing for taxpayer dollars, rather than propping up, you know, the tired energy industries of the past, which are the fossil fuel industries.
Now, you mentioned a four-letter word there, jobs. On the 60 Minutes piece, Leslie Stahl said these programs have failed to create jobs. Clean tech doesn't create jobs. Is that true?
It's not true. In fact, what Leslie Stahl said was, everything I've read, there were not that many jobs created. So, I mean, she didn't even look for real numbers. How can you? That's just a crazy statement. And in fact, a quick Google search, she could have found out that the Department of Energy estimate for the program is that it's responsible for 55,000 direct jobs, and that doesn't count the tens of thousands of indirect positions. And for a little context, the State Department estimate for the Keystone Pipeline is that it would create less than 4,000 temporary jobs and only 35 permanent jobs. So we have everyone calling for the Keystone Pipeline for jobs, and, you know, the renewable energy sector created over 100,000 jobs in 2012. So clearly there are serious economic benefits to this kind of investment.
I wonder what it was she read, if in fact she read anything, when she says, everything I've read says there were not that many jobs created. I can't help but wonder if it was one sentence she read and stopped at the end of that, at the period, and didn't go on to anything else.
Well, clearly, you know, there was no attempt to put real figures in front of the viewer, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Somebody in the fact-checking department at 60 Minutes must have been laid off last year because they keep getting it wrong and wrong and wrong. Zoe Carpenter, reporter in the Washington, D.C. Bureau of the Nation. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend, every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks.
Paul Harris. America.